Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
Hey, Brandon, guess what?
What's up?
I'm back.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. My name is Brandon Cater, and I'm here with my co-host, Logan Lewis. It's been a minute. We haven't sat down and had a conversation together for over a month now, Logan, eh?
Yeah, it's been, we did Mark's episode. It came on the 17th of June, so go check that out if you haven't already. But we recorded that one before I left, and I left on the 4th. And now we're recording again on the 4th. So it's been for sure over a month.
Yeah, I think we recorded with Mark from Repella Canada. Like Logan mentioned, if you haven't listened to the previous episode, go check it out. Tons of great information about Repella Canada, all of their brands, lures, the company, how lures are made, you name it. Yeah. Go check it out. But yeah, that was back in May. At the end of May, we recorded that. And it seems like forever since we've actually like had a conversation. Like even, you know, you were up there in the Northwest Territories guiding for the last month here.
Yep.
For those of you that don't know, Logan was up at Lac La Marte. Is that how you pronounce it?
I just say Lac La Marte.
But and so we haven't really had a solid conversation. I haven't really talked to you. You just got home a couple days ago. And, we're used to talking so much throughout the week in preparation for other episodes. And so you just flew in from the Northwest Territories a couple days ago, and this is the first time we're sitting down and talking about your experience as a guide.
Yeah. Yeah. I flew back Saturday the 2nd, I believe. Left the lodge on the float plane around 9:30, took the second plane out to come in, came in that day. Okay. So I took the second one out just to soak it up a little bit more, and then it was off to the airport.
Jeez. Just the little bit of content that you shared while you were up there was like unbelievable. I was drooling over it. I can't wait to like go through a bunch of the photos. Like you do a big photo dump of your experience. You're up there for like 30 days. I mean, that's not really that long, but when you think about it, you're on the water for 30 days straight. Like, you know, I'm sure you had a lot of experiences, a lot of ups and downs and whatnot with clients. And you mentioned you kept a diary every day, eh? Wrote down everything you did?
A little bit, yeah. It's kind of, I just downloaded an app. One of my friends from the lake suggested it, and I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. Yeah. So it wasn't really a diary. It's like, well, the first couple days in the Northwest Territories were an experience. So those ones are pretty long. But then once I got onto the island and you're working every day and whatnot, you get up, have breakfast at 7, whatever, 8 o'clock comes around, you start working. I got in there the 6th. I got to the lodge, and the first set of guests that I had weren't till the 14th. So it was more working, opening up the camp, getting the boats ready, getting your boat ready, doing other things around the camp. So that was the first little bit there. So those ones got a bit skinnier in information, maybe like a paragraph or two kind of thing, but just, I have a very bad memory, so I thought that'd be a good way to keep track of it all.
No, I think that's awesome, man. Like even, you know, down the way, if you never ever guide again per se, you have these memories and information to go back and look at. You know, you did this that day, or you know this client caught that fish this day, it's just kind of relive the moments, and I think that's pretty neat. But before we jump and dive deep into your experience up north, we got to give a shout out to our sponsors. They've been with us for the whole year, and they've been fantastic to partner with. So let's kick it off with the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation. If you don't have a membership, go check them out. Tons of perks that come along with the memberships for a very, very cheap price. And download the Saskatchewan Master Angler Program if you haven't. Submit those big catches and get rewarded.
Yeah, for sure. I think I missed the Buffalo Pound Tournament while I was gone.
Yep.
I mean, that was too bad, but obviously it was for a pretty good reason. But I think that one went pretty well, I believe.
Yep.
How many people do we know fishing in that? I know Carson from CMK was in it.
I think we knew about maybe like 10 or 15 people for sure that were fishing in it.
Okay.
But yeah, that tournament's kind of neat, right? Because you have three in a boat.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice, right? It's a nice tournament to introduce people into tournament angling and get the kids out. Or, you know, if there's two of you that are, you know, fairly into the sport and you want to take somebody that's, you know, not super familiar with angling and more leisurely, then it's a great way to introduce them into a more competitive atmosphere as well. So yeah. I think it's super cool when you can have three in the boat. So
yeah, exactly. And a quick side note too, mentioning Carson there, big congrats to him on taking second at the, is that Riverhurst? That's the Father's Day weekend.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, him and his dad took second, I think.
Yeah. So that was awesome to see that when I got back to lodge and checked the phone, and by like a slim margin, they lost out on first. I think it was like, I don't want to get it wrong. I feel like it was less than 0.2 of a pound, maybe less than 0.1 of a pound.
Yeah, I was going to say a few ounces.
Yeah, so that's too bad. But hey, second, that's pretty crazy for, obviously, I don't think he's been fishing tournaments too long either. So I know he'd be jacked about that. And he got to do it with his dad, John, as well. So no complaints there. Eh?
On Father's Day weekend,
which
is pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, that tournament went well. There was a bunch of other tournaments that happened while you're gone as well. But before we get into a long tangent on that, we got to give a shout out to Blackfish Gear, which I know was crucial to your experience guiding. I mean, right. Doesn't matter what the elements are. You kind of got to be out there.
Yeah, exactly. There's that's kind of the thing that's important is good rain gear. I wore that every single day that I was guiding. Even if it was hot out, I usually have my bibs on. I did tan a little bit when it got really hot outside, whatever, stripped down to the shorts and get a little bit, try and get rid of this farmer's tan that is absolutely atrocious right now. But the Blackfish gear, I took up the Ascent bibs and jacket, I believe.
Yep.
And then the pullover as well. And then actually two pairs of the waterproof socks. No complaints whatsoever with the bibs and the jacket. Every single day wearing at least the bibs. Anytime that rain started to come out, the jacket would go on instantly and I was dry. We had some pretty good downpours when just the guides were out fishing the first couple days there. It's nice to not have to worry about that kind of stuff when you're out there, because lots of the clients had stories of, I had this rain gear that was supposed to be good and it didn't do anything. I had to come back and change and stuff. And when you're in the pike phase in the afternoon, you're running quite a few minutes, like 15, 20 to an hour run where you're going to go. Yep. Right. So you can't be running back to go and change. And as the guide, you need to be able to make sure that you're staying warm, you're staying dry, because you're in control of that boat. You're in control of those other two people that are with you. So it's really important to have that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And something that maybe a lot of people that, you know, don't know Blackfish gear, it's not really available in retail stores in Canada. So, but with those rain suits too, with the technology that they use, it actually says right on the tag that washing the suit actually enhances the waterproof ability of it.
Yeah.
So if you do get a Blackfish rain suit, put it in the washer and it's actually going to benefit the suit. It's going to make it more water resistible. And so like a lot of things, you're always leery about putting it in the washing and dryer machine or whatnot, right? It might shrink or, you know, this, that, you know. But with that suit, they actually recommend washing it. So
yeah, I did mine when I got home. Cool. And the jacket was fine, but the bibs, if you've ever been into even Northern Sass, wherever you go, Northern, any of these provinces, and the number of pike you run into, just take that and multiply it by like 10. And that's what it seemed like most days were up there. Like the pike numbers were crazy. So as you can imagine, unhooking a lot of pike and just whether it's wiping them off on your pants and not really realizing it or not, like those pants
slime.
So when I got home, I took the socks, the pullover, and the pants and tossed them into the wash, but just I just didn't put any detergent, nothing like that, and just washed it on cold, basically to rinse it off, right? And now they're hanging in the garage drying. So
if you are interested in any Blackfish gear, head on down to the show notes below for an exclusive 15% off discount code. That's probably the only discount code for Blackfish gear in Canada. So go utilize that. You're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah, exactly. And then I guess next up, 13 Fishing.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're kind of a big part of our show. Hey,
yeah, exactly. No,
and honestly, I can't recommend the Omen Gold series enough, the Gold Omen series. love those rods, like absolutely love them. I actually headed up north for myself on a fishing trip in Saskatchewan here, and tell you what, a couple hundred walleye,
walleye
in a couple days, a couple walleyes, and not one time was I disappointed with the sensitivity, the action, or you know, being able to pin a fish. I mean, we didn't catch any huge fish up north. I mean, size typically is a little bit less than down here in the south. They don't grow as quick or as big, specifically walleye. But, you know, the amount of numbers and the amount of fish that I caught on that rod was unbelievable. And I can't recommend it enough. And if you listen to the previous episode, we also talk about a lot of Rapella baits. And there's a few that, you know, Mark recommended in that episode that I snagged before that trip. And they were definitely putting fish in the boat. So go back and listen to that episode like we mentioned.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention quickly too, so most of the guides have a throwback rod. Lots of times there's Lakers that are following in another Laker that you've caught.
Yep.
And so my first set of clients, he was reeling in a smaller one, but then we know for sure the one was 40 inches, but the other one looked around the same size, 40 inch lake trout, followed it up. I had the Creed GT on one of my rods, and then as my reel with some, I think it was only 30 pound braid, but had that, and then the VMC underspin with the Smoke and Mirrors churro. I set that. I saw that fish. I just told him to hang on to that fish that he had. Quickly took it off, dropped her in the water, ripped out enough line. It was only about 30 feet of water. Jigged it on bottom once, hook set, and handed it off to Deb, the girl that was in the boat there with Mike, and that was her 40 inch trout for the trip. And so it absolutely smashed that bait. It worked very well for any of the jig bites that we got on. So definitely would recommend there.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into it a little bit in this episode, a little more details on stuff you used in your experiences. But yeah, if you're interested in 13 Fishing, Rapella, any of those major brands, go to rapella.ca. Linked in the show notes below, and use our code Weekend Warriors. Save yourself 15% off your entire cart. I mean, really, you're not going to get much of a better deal on amazing, amazing products than that. So
yeah. And then I guess lastly here, we have to mention Lucky Bastard Distillers, right? Yeah. Maybe we'll just have a quick word here from them, and then we'll hop right into, I guess, both of our trips, because we're lucky enough to head on a trip here in the last month.
There are certain moments in life that really stick with you. This is definitely one of them. The thrill of the dill, my friends, is not a myth.
Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask about LB's legendary Birmingham's Dill Pickle Vodka. After all, it's not a party until someone pulls out the pickle. Tours and tastings available. Call or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard?
It's the one with the pickle in it.
So we're getting right into the middle of summer here pretty well now that we're into July. Be sure to use the code Weekend Warriors for 10% off. They ship Canada wide on their website. I know I'll be picking up some things for the cabin here, probably laying a little low after being gone for a month, be hanging out at the cabin with the family and whatnot. So I'll definitely be picking up some Lucky Bastard items.
Yeah, I mean, I was just at my parents' place this weekend up at Fishing Lake. And we were definitely dabbling in the espresso vodka, and that stuff hits. That's some good stuff. If you're looking for some premium vodka, it slaps.
Yeah.
If you're looking for some premium vodka, yeah, definitely don't give, don't blink on Lucky Bastard Distillers. They have some of the best.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I guess now that we got that intro out of the way here, where do you want to start? You want to start with your trip? You want to start with my trip? What's going on?
Let's dive into you, man. Like, you were gone for 30 days. You were gone for a full month. You just left your job and went.
Yep. That's how it works.
tell me about it. Talk to me. Like, I'm jealous. I know there's a lot of guys that, you know, think about guiding or, you know, but just can't. And, like, you had a great opportunity. Zach, you know, reached out to you. You were able to work it out with your work and head up to a place that is so remote. Like, take me through just kind of the initial stages of, you know, getting there and the emotions and getting ready and prepared for your first clients.
Yeah, I guess you mentioned the emotions there. I'll start with that. it was pretty hard leaving. I won't deny that. Really, really good group of people up there. I know, Jesse, Zach's wife, she listens to the pod, has it saved on her Spotify. So shout out to Jesse for that.
And if you don't have it saved on your Spotify, add it to your saved favorites, podcasts, whatever you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. No, and then Adam was telling me another guide up there, Adam Gamble. Well, my dad. He was my dad while I was up there. He said he'd be listening to him on his way home. So no, I just wanted to give a big shout out to everyone up there. It was a really special group of people. Went up there not knowing anyone. We had talked to Zach on here, right? And that's about the extent. Talked whatnot on Instagram, whatever, some calls before I went up there. But I've never really gone into a place like that before where no one knew me and I didn't know anyone. So that was something different. But it couldn't have been a better outcome. Everyone vibed instantly. It felt like it only took a couple days and me saying people's names wrong a couple times and then we were good to go, right? Now you walk up and I don't know how many people are on the dock. Me and Davis, Davis from Waterloo, he came in and guided there. And so we met at the, I picked him up at the airport when I got in on the 4th, hadn't met him before, picked him up there, went to the hotel, shared a hotel with him for 2 days. And then he was one of the, one of me, Davis, and then Fish, we'll get to him. We stayed in the grain bin together. So, we're kind of roomies for it, but like didn't know Davis at all. We get into the hotel, we're vibing, whatever. We have supply run to do, just going around. Like you just, everything worked out so well. And then, Adam and Jesse made it to the island, 2 days. I think they came in on the 8th. So 2 days after me and Davis got there and yeah, same thing. Yep. So basically what there was up there, in the lodge / kitchen was Ryan, Talia, Zach's sister, and then Jesse, Zach's wife. And so that was it for lodge kitchen staff. And then, as far as guides, we had in the grain bin, which can sleep 5, but there's only 3 of us. There was me, Davis, and Fish, Brendan, Fishy B, big fly guy. He's my guy. He's my guy. He'll like that inside joke there. But those were those 3. And then in the Taj, we had, there was another Jesse, boy Jesse, and then Adam Gamble, and then JR and Colby. And so that was kind of that. And then there was John Boy's a guide and Nathan was a camp helper in the other cabin there. So not like a huge group, right? I think there was, when they were full, it's 9 boats going. So pretty tight knit group, but it was, I would imagine you could have some troubles. If you go up to those camps and you got someone who's an issue or a couple of people that are a problem, right? But there wasn't, you're stuck on an island with like X amount of people, right? And there wasn't a single issue that I can think of where things weren't just like positive vibes 100% of the time. It was awesome.
Well, I mean, I think that's like anything though, right? Any type of work environment. I mean, that type of work, it seems like a lot more fun, but it's still business and it's, you know, you're still employed and, you know, having those good relationships means everything. Cause like you mentioned, you get one sour candy and, you know, it can ruin a whole lot of fun that, you know, it can ruin everybody's experience. So, I mean, the fact that everybody got along and meshed and you guys had, you know, each other's backs in a sense is huge. So,
And it's a grind, right? Like we all love doing it. That was the best thing. All very like-minded people. The biggest thing, like I said, I went there not knowing anyone. And within a couple of days went from not knowing anyone to basically having a whole another set of friends and family basically is what it feels like. So definitely thankful that I went up there and thankful for the group of people that were there. It was definitely tough to leave, maybe shed a little tear on the plane ride out before I even, they made a, what was it? Basically the last day they sent me, there's a guide table. They had me sit at the head of the table there and they had this sheet of paper, it was a picture of me, and then a sheet of paper where I couldn't see it. And it was like kind of a note to give me when I got on the plane. I didn't actually read that till the Calgary to Regina plane. So I was already shedding a tear just thinking about leaving the place when I was on the float plane out. So that was definitely tough, but love all those guys. Very, very thankful to have met them.
That's freaking awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, people are great. Obviously the waters are great too. So obviously you guided pike, lake trout.
Yeah. That's it.
For the majority of it. Just those two.
There is grayling about what is it, like an hour 20 boat ride. You go past Wati, head down into the river system. But the whole time I was there, only one boat. John Boy went down there with a guy once, and that was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So pike and lake trout, I mean, we have a lot of girthy pike down here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of great bodies of water that produce big fish. We don't have lake trout down here. So I know you fish lake trout more than I have, but for yourself, I mean, you're guiding, you're putting people on fish and giving them an experience. Was it harder to guide for lake trout or pike?
I don't know. You have to also understand that, like, we're pretty lucky to have the pike fishing we do. And you can go to places like Clearwater or some other northern places in Sask and get some good lakers too, right? So, I mean, we're pretty lucky as far as that. Lots of these guys are coming from places where their pike are all like a 32, 33 is huge, right? For them. So,
majority of your clients were U.S. people?
All of them. Yeah. I don't know of a single Canadian that was up there while I was there. I know they have some, I think, throughout the year, but all of the clients of the boats that were going were all from somewhere in the States. So they don't.
Okay.
Their focus is pike. Found it crazy because I'm like, you've got these 40, 44 inch, 45 inch lakers, and some of them refuse to fish for them. It's only pike. I'm like, how can you do that? I was like, I know I'm lucky enough to have big pike where we are, right? But I just couldn't get over that. Like, it's crazy to me. And basically, when you're heading out, there's the morning, the bays, I don't know if they haven't really warmed up enough, stuff like that, right? You want to let them warm up. So you can hit bays in the morning, but you're not going to find much for big fish. Like, it's like a ghost town. But once that, like, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock hits, that's when the bays really start to heat up, get going. And that's where you'll see, I guess I should point out, it's like the water, you can see the bottom sometimes at 20 feet. So it's lots of sight fishing these big fish. So once you get later into the afternoon, you can really do that for the pike. As far as lake trout fishing, the guides like doing that, something different, right? Troll. Lots of the Americans realize once they do hook into that big fish, how much of, I think, a better fight it is with the lakers compared to the pike, right? You're in a bit deeper water. They're just tanks, stuff like that, right? Pike will give you some good drag screens back and forth kind of thing, but to me it's not comparable really at all, but that's just my opinion. But I would say it was harder to guide for pike just because that's what was desired, if that makes sense. Yeah. Lake trout was that, like,
makes perfect sense
for lots of them. It was just like, oh, this is how we're going to pass the morning, troll for lake trout from 8 till whatever, 11, before you make your run to the bay you're going to. So it was kind of whatever happens with lake trout happens. The fishing is incredible either way. So that makes it a lot easier on the guide too. There's obviously still, like, Zach's been there, I don't know how many years now. And like, when it's slower days for some of us, he's still usually pulling some 40s and stuff like that. That, like, I come back like, we didn't see any today. And he's like, oh, I got like 5, but yeah, it was pretty slow kind of thing. Right. And other days, like Adam had a day, 25, 40 inch pike for one of his clients in the boat. Like, just ridiculous. So it's like, I had my very,
insane.
Yeah. My very first day guiding, I had, a 40 inch laker in the morning. And then we went to do pike, catching lots of numbers. And then it was just like, bang, bang, bang. It was four casts back to back with 40 inch pike. And I was just like, what is this? And there's so many pike there. Like, I have a video that I posted on my story. I'm coming out of a bay, and I count 44 pike in front of me that are just swimming around. And like, none of them were big, like maybe in that like 25 to 30 inch range. Yeah, they're still there. It's just crazy to see, right? You don't get to see that normally. So it's, I don't know.
And in that clear of water, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'd say pike, but if there was more desire for lake trout, then probably lakers. Cause it's, especially this time of year, like Zach mentioned in our episode, they're a lot more spread out. They have the area, I think they call it the Promised Land, if I remember correctly. And that's where lots of them, the lakers, go later on in the year. But right now my clients are catching lakers in 3 feet of water in a bay. But then we were also catching lakers in 40, 50 feet. So they're all over the place, right?
Yeah, they're scattered.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. And like anybody that's listening to this right now, go back and listen to our episode with Zach Brown. And he talks all about, you know, his experiences over the years at Lac La Mart and, you know, a lot of crazy stuff and, you know, trying to catch these fish on different lures, that homemade lures and all kinds of different aspects. But go follow him on Instagram, too. I mean, the guy posts great content and stuff that maybe, you know, not everybody is into, but it's definitely entertaining and it's different. And he's been on a trek for posting numbers for his days on the water guiding every day, and his numbers are ridiculous. Like the amount of fish that he is counting on his clicker, you know, is crazy. Yeah. It's cool to see, you know, check Instagram, you know, at the end of the day, and it's like, oh man, like Zach put his clients on this many fish and they were, you know, 15 over 40 or whatever. Like it's cool to see. And it's a hard concept to grasp that, you know, these types of bodies of water are, you know, are out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you come around here and it's super pressured. You go up there and it's like, you look in front of your boat, and you have 44 pike just sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. And you try and get out of there as quickly as you can so they don't try and catch all of them and you have to deal with all of them. But I guess too quickly, giving a shout out to Zach. There's a couple guides as well that do a fair amount on Instagram, so I wanted to shout them out quick. But first one would be Dad, Adam Gamble. He guides in Alberta as well. That'd be Adam_Gamble_Outdoors. He also has Adam's.
And it was his birthday.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was Dad's birthday. That was a good time. Some drinks and whatnot. But he also has Adam's Angling Adventures Limited. So that's where you can find him if you want to do something in Alberta. And then there was also, let's see what his is, FishyB_403, my guy, Fish, one of the Grain Bin Boys. He guides as well in Alberta. If you go check out his page, he's also just mean with the camera. He's got some good camera skills there. So you just go and check out the trout he's catching. It's absolutely ridiculous. He's full of knowledge as well. So that'd be a good one to check out. And then last one here, we got Boy Jesse. That's what I would call him since we had two Jessies up there. What is it? He's a Sasky boy as well. Me and him were the two Sasky boys, but it's Jackfish Hills Outdoors. And you can kind of follow along. He posts quite a bit from the adventures up there. And then when he's back home too, he hits... I think he said he was living in Meadow Lake, if I remember correctly. So he hits up lots of the places around there, but all definitely good follows. So be sure to check them out. But when you were talking about the way those lakes are and stuff up there, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like it is like when it's going good, it's like this, like anyone could do it kind of thing. And then you go into a bay, it looks the exact same as the one you're just in, and there's zero fish. It's just so different. But it was nice because I don't know how other places do it, obviously, because I haven't been anywhere before. But when we got there, the ice was pretty late coming off, so we didn't get to, me and Davis and Fish didn't get to go out as much to kind of learn the lake a bit, just because we keep getting blocked off by the ice, depending on which way the wind was going. We didn't want to get stuck out there, right? So they were all really good about, like, there's a huge map in the lodge, and what they have is a board for the guides, and writes everyone's name, and then you write where you're going for the day. And so that kind of does a couple things. The first thing it does is everyone knows the spots for the most part. Each guide that's been up there before kind of has like his weed bed or like other littler places to check out and whatnot, especially later on in the season once they start sliding out of the bays a bit. But we have this board, and so you write where you're going, and what that does is it kind of a safety reason, right? They know your general area where you're going to be for the day. The second thing is it makes sure that someone else isn't going to go where you were going, because if the lake's 1,000 square miles, you don't need to be seeing another boat in the same bay, right? So it does that. And then what it also does is the board will have multiple days on it, so you can see, okay, Jesse hit this bay. Yes, Jesse hit 9 Mile yesterday. We want to try and let it rest for a day or two, kind of thing, right? After some of the fish have been caught in there and whatnot, might be a little more tight-lipped the next day. So we try and let those bays rest for a day. So then I'll be like, oh, I'll go check out Cliffs. And then maybe a day or two later, I'll go to a 9 mile kind of thing. So it's constantly cycling. It is kind of funny. It's 1,000 square miles, but when you have 9 boats going, it doesn't take long to start burning spots. Right. So,
yeah,
that board helped a lot. I know other places, guys are all pretty tight lipped about their spots, but in the end you're working together, you're a lodge, right? Like you want the best experience for your clients. So I think that, that helped a lot and took a big weight off of the new guy's chest in the sense of you don't have to wonder, oh, is this going to be a good spot or is this going to be a good spot? Like, you know, some of those spots, you obviously try and fish new areas each day as well. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit kind of thing, right? Like
sometimes good, sometimes shit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you're always trying to like, or if you're, oh, the rocks, I got to mention the rocks. There's rocks everywhere.
She's a rocky lake.
Oh, it's when you fly in there, it's like, it's crazy. But the nice thing is when the sun's at your back and there's a little bit of a ripple, you can see the change in color of the bottom. So, what Colby explained when I was in the boat with him, it's like dark blue, good. Light blue, good. Yellow, orange, don't go there. Cause orange is, you're probably hitting a rock. Right. So, cause lots of those rocks are just a couple inches under the water waiting to be hit. So it's kind of sketch when you're running around and it's like glass, which surprisingly there's more days like glass than not. I found on a lake that big, that's a big circle pretty well. Lots of really calm days, but the rocks there. Oh my goodness, they're everywhere. And you're just like, you're pretty safe out in the main lake. But then the issue becomes when it does get rougher and you're trying to kind of cut in between shore and some islands and stuff like that, just trying to stay out of those bigger waves. And that's where you find some rocks, because some of those shoals and reefs just, they come out of nowhere. So it's definitely sketchy there.
Yeah, and I mean, going to a lake too that you've never been to.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you were to ever go back, right, at least you have the experience and the knowledge and kind of know where to go and what to do. But yeah, like going to a new lake, and you don't want to be that guy that's ripping a prop off on your first week.
No, exactly. So it's we all hit rocks. I have a good video that I have saved in the phone that I'm waiting to put out when Zach starts to get
In the old archive.
In the archives, or just some ammo waiting to be used on Zach. But like the only rocks I hit, I would either be drifting in a bay or I was just idling in, like just put into forward and just idling, no throttle. So I was lucky there. There's definitely some that got hit at faster speeds, and I know all those guys, they don't want it. They don't want that to happen, right? It's just this shitty feeling in your stomach, just. You don't want that to happen. So it's funny. Sometimes you bump a rock, you gain a mile per hour. Sometimes you bump a rock, you lose a mile per hour or 2 mile per hour kind of thing, depending on what it did to the skag and to your prop. But when we're putting the boats in, the first day we get there, we're putting the boats in, and it's just like, which motor do you want? I was like, I don't know. They all are missing their skags and stuff. So I was like, it doesn't matter. They had 4 new motors and boats come in. I was like, I definitely don't want a new boat, because as soon as they hit a rock with that thing, you're going to know. Right. But or just trying to find your props. You're like, this one's less beat up than this one, so I'll take that one. So it's kind of funny there too.
What were you guys running up there for boats, 18 foot or 16 foot with 40s or 25s or 50s?
18 foot. Aluma Marie's with 50s. 50s nice. On there. Yeah, so you get a new motor probably around 31 mile an hour, I think. 32 when you're going good.
That's pretty decent.
Yeah.
That's pretty decent, man.
Yeah, I think I was about 28 miles per hour. So I wasn't winning any races there, but that's totally fine. It's kind of funny, the ins and outs. Having been on guided trips, and then now being the guide, it's kind of funny, the inner workings and the stuff that are kind of going on in the guide's head or the things guides do. And so all I'll say is just be nice to your guide. There's no reason not to be nice, because that guide makes that trip for you basically, right? So if you want a good trip, be nice to the guide, have a good time. If you're going to be a dick, the guide could be a dick too if they want to. So it's kind of funny there.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
If you are in need of a boat, whether it be a pontoon, fishing boat, maybe you just need a small boat to get into the backwoods, a river system, check out our friends JP Adventure Rentals and SAS best boat rentals. They have everything you need for all of your adventures, whether it be fishing or fun with the family.
Be sure to mention that you're a Weekend Warriors listener for 10% off everything, including gift cards.
Here's a quick word from JP Adventure Rentals.
Get your adventure on with JP Adventure Rentals in Saskatchewan. Whether it's remote ice fishing, hunting, trail riding, or just taking family and friends out for a day of fun, JP Adventure Rentals has you covered with brand new ATVs, snowmobiles, aluminum trailers, plus accessories. Visit jpadventurerentals.ca to make your reservation. Check out our sister company, Saskatchewan's best boat rentals, for all of your boat rental needs. Pre-book now. Get out there with JP Adventure Rentals. We rent fun.
Oh, that's with anything though, right? I mean,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It sounds like you guys grind up there. And I guess one of the questions I had pertaining to your trip is you sent me a Snapchat one day.
Uh-oh.
About a client losing what would have been the biggest trip of the season thus far.
The biggest pike for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's that story? I want to hear that. Because what do you say? You think it would have been around 47, 48 inches?
Yeah, so... the thing that other guides had said they do, and so I started doing it, was I'd get in the boat, we're pulling up from the dock the first day, and kind of like, you're getting to know each other, but like, hey, what are your expectations for the trip? What are you hoping for? And all these two guys say is, we want a 50-inch pike. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that's like, it's almost like
I've never even seen one of those in my life.
And there are some up there. None were caught while I was there. And you think about that, that's the first week was 9 boats going out, 2 people fishing in each boat for, I think it's 6 days, right? That's a lot of fish being caught. And then the next week was 9 as well, I think. And then the next week was 7. So that's a lot of people fishing, a lot of pike being caught, yep. Thousands of pike being caught. And it's like, okay, I think the biggest I heard of was, I think John Boy maybe got someone a 47. I could be wrong, but I think that was around the biggest when I was up there. And yeah, so these guys say, yeah, we're hoping for a 50-inch pike. I'm like, oh yeah, let's set the standards real low, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, oh my God, this is what they're hoping for? I was like, that's pretty tough to meet. But anyways, try and make the best of it. And we fish some good days, some bad days, kind of hit and miss. It got really, really hot. Like the bays got up to 70 degrees really quick. And kind of that money zone, I think, is around that 60 degrees. So definitely got a bit too hot while they were up there. And so we had some good pike days, some not so good pike days. And then the very last day, in the last 3 hours, we're in a bay. We just caught 340s. I think the biggest at that point was like a 42.5 that day. And then I'm looking around. So basically you don't fish, obviously, as the guide. You're usually, when you get into these bays, if you're doing a drift or you're back trolling or something, looking for these fish while they're casting, you're always looking around. It's so clear, you can usually see suns if the sun's right and stuff like that. So I'm looking around for these fish and I spot this. It looked like a shark. So right after, probably 10, 15 minutes after this happened, this one was lost. Yeah. We caught a 44.5, and this one that was not even lost, I can't even say lost, didn't even hook into it. It probably looked about 4 to 5 inches longer, I would say, than that 44.5. So that gives you an idea of how big it is. And it's all in like 4 feet of water. So it's not like I'm looking at a fish distorted way far away, right?
I was just going to say like magnified.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they love the Z-mans. Zach has those videos with the Z-mans. I had never really used them. I'd never really used them a ton, but all of them bring them up there. They
look indestructible.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I think most people would know that, especially like bass fishing, whatever, stuff like that. So mostly they're showing these paddle-tailed Z-mans, and he tossed it to this fish. And sometimes those big ones can be picky, right? And it eats instantly. Like this, it's the Magnum Z-man. I don't even know how long it is, but for sure, I don't know. Go look at one of Zach's recent videos. You'll see how big the Magnums are. But it's totally gone. I can't see it anymore. This red Z-man is just gone. And he gives the biggest bass hook set of his life and rips it right out. And doesn't even sting the fish. The fish just sits there. But I didn't want to turn the boat on because I didn't want to spook it. But then the boat started going over it. And and then it eventually went away, and then we couldn't find it again. But yeah, so just I was just like devastated. I was like, that could have made the trip.
The biggest bass hook set of life, eh?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, like it was. I totally understand. It's almost like a buck fever thing, right? Like this thing just ate my bait. They knew it was big. Yeah, and it was gone. It like literally ripped it out the water. It went back the other way. Like I was like, oh, that's tough. That makes the trip right there, right? That's especially on the last day.
That's the one bite, right? That's the one bite that you're looking for.
Yeah, so that was tough. But then we caught that 44.5, so it got a little better. But that fish, Davis had actually seen it with some fly fishing guys that week as well. And I think the guy missed his hook set on that too. Same fish, pretty well same spot in the bay. And then the last week I was there, another guide went into there and the treble broke off the spoon on that fish. So it, no one's got to actually get a measurement on it yet. So hopefully someone gets it before it, takes off out of that bay and they can at least know the size of it. But yeah, that was a tough one. That was probably the toughest loss or miss of my three sets of clients there.
That was, yeah. No, I just remember you sending me that snap. You looked so sad.
I was sad. I there's not much you can do, but I was sad. I was, yeah. Because that's, you're trying to find that fish. You're trying to find that for the whole week, right? And like, it kind of gets to the point like, oh, it's a 40. Oh, yeah, I don't need a picture with it. It's nothing to write home about, is what the one guy kept saying. I'm like, these are all nice fish.
That's my saying.
Yeah, but yeah, these are all nice fish, and you're just, it's like, yeah, no, none of, and some of them they don't really know, right? It's like me with hunting in Saskatchewan. I know we have it good, but I don't know how good it is compared to other places because I haven't had to hunt in those other places where there's smaller deer, smaller whatever, right? So, but people don't realize like even a 37 to 40 is still a nice pike, right? Like they can get chunky, they put up a good fight, especially, but no, it's just that 40-inch number or that 20-pound number is a big like milestone. So if it doesn't reach there, it's not 20 pounds, it's not 40 inches. So kind of funny in that sense.
Yeah, you get spoiled, eh?
Oh yeah, I would
like just like I mentioned too. Like I just took a peek at Zach's story again.
Yeah,
on his clicker, he has 94 fish caught today. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, whatever it was, 8 or 9 over 40, whatever, 5 or 6 of lake trout over 35 inches.
Oh, like, wow. That's good.
These are big fish.
Yeah.
And like, you can go up there for a week and, you know, by the fifth day, you're catching 40, 41, 42. And it's not something to write home about, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a crazy concept. But man, it really hurts me to hear that you didn't get that 50 inch for your clients. That would have been,
That would have been sweet.
That would have been something to write home about.
Yeah. And I don't, that one was probably, I'll be conservative in like the 47 inch range there. I'll say that. Cause you don't know for sure, but yeah, it's definitely crazy. It's hard when you're sight fishing, like the number of fish that like, there was one with the same group in the second day, and we caught a couple 40s, and then we're coming out of this little channel. And I was like, oh, that's a nice one there. And he cast to it. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, I don't know if I'll go 40. He's like, yeah, I'm not too sure either. And the dad would always say, oh, that's going to be a 42 or something like that. He's like, you guys are underestimating them. And so I just popped it off. And then when I popped it off and it just went to a little bit, like just popped it off side of the boat, didn't net it, nothing like that. It was probably like, I was thinking it was like a 38, 39. And so let it go. And then it just kind of went down and was chilling at the bottom by the boat. And I was looking at it more. I was like, I think that fish is bigger than I thought. So I just like, sorry, just was sitting there. And so I just took the net, picked it up, measured it. So, yeah, it was like 41 or something like that. So it's hard to tell sometimes because there's so many fish and then so many fish close to that. It's difficult to tell.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts. You took all your own electronics and everything up there, eh?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of funny. I figured, screw it. I've got the Humminbird and the Garmin. You don't need the two units, right? I had the Humminbird always on maps, and then the Garmin I'd have on like a split screen of the 2D or clear view and the side imaging. Side imaging helped a lot for some things, but Yeah, I had the two units up there, pulled them off the boat, easy setup. You can cut lots of guys. You should see some of the guides' boats. I didn't do much because I was only going to be there for a little bit. But the guys that are up there all year, they've got like these cool little additions built on where like their sonar, it's made out of wood, but like they got all these hooks for their baits, for their pliers, for their radio. Every boat had a radio, stuff like that. And they've got this cool little setup, organized area. And that was pretty cool to see. But yeah, my boat had the two units with the, I took a, what was it, like 3/4 inch plywood, cut to 20 inches, where just wide enough to fit the two units, and clamped that onto the back of the boat and was good to go there. So that's what I took up there. Lots of the other guys just use like a Helix 5 or the 5-inch Garmin. It's more just knowing the depth, right? I was mapping and stuff just because I like to be able to follow some of the stuff, but that lots of those guys are a lot better and know what they're doing, right? So it's they just know the depth and they know the lake enough to be like, yeah, this is where I want to go. So
no, that's fair.
Yeah.
And you liked a Garmin? Was that the first kind of tried true test of open water with the Garmin, or have you used it a few times before you went up?
I had used it a few times on the Lund before I went up there, but like only in Buffalo where it's, I'm fishing 12 to 15 feet, right? So it was nothing crazy.
Not much to see.
Yeah, like I got some pretty cool videos, get on a jig bite, like after we caught the 40 inch Laker for Deb on the underspin, we drifted out just like with dealing with the fish, getting some quick pictures and then letting it go. We drifted out and I looked out at the Garmin. I was like, there's marks everywhere here. We sat there. They were using what were they using? I think it was the search bait. The Storm? Yeah, the GT, the Storm. They were using those heads with paddle tail on it for pike. And I was like, just start tossing those down. Like, and we were in, I think, 40-some feet. And they didn't really understand it as much. But then I took my follow rod too. And it was in like a 20-minute span. I think we caught like, I think we landed about 10 Lakers, but popped off a bunch more. And so I just started, I took mine out, unclipped it down the bottom, rip it up quick, hook set, be like, Deb, give me a rod. I'd hand that off to her, put hers down, drop it, fish on, give that one to Mike, take his. And then we'd have like triple headers probably like 3 or 4 times.
Oh my God.
So it was crazy there, but yeah, no, just, yeah, I don't know. Nuts.
What? That was on, were you using the white?
Yeah.
Paddle tail? Yeah.
Yeah. I like the white.
I don't know. Yeah. I know you like the white churros, white GT Storms.
Yeah.
But it seems like everything that you use for lake trout is white. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're listening, take some notes. Logan's putting fish on the boat using white plastics.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too, is lots of those guys, whether they had guided somewhere else or, like Davis is a big musky guy, the baits he brought were just ridiculous. Insane. Right? Yeah, like very nice baits, but also some huge ones that he was catching fish on. But like you said, not having those kind of Lakers around home, I had what I thought were some good size baits and stuff, but like the baits those guys are running, like huge flat fish. I was trolling some Savage Gear stuff that wasn't even big compared to some of the stuff Zach was trolling, and like the massive spoons, everything like that. I was like, this is just crazy. But they catch fish. It's crazy how big those baits are and that they catch fish.
Crazy. Unreal. I guess, what was your favorite part about the trip? If you could narrow it, I know that's a very, very broad, hard question. If you could narrow it down in your first experience guiding out of the 30 days you were up there, what is your number one takeaway?
It's honestly not the fishing. It wasn't the clients. It was honestly just the people. I there could be no fish in that lake and I still would have had just as good of a time at the lodge with the people. I could have been not guiding. I could have been on land the whole time, and just that's how awesome the people
could have been
there.
In the kitchen.
I would have been fine to be in the kitchen. They're all good in there too. So I'd say definitely the people, the island life, stuff like that. It's really hard to explain until you get there. Like, I won't lie, I was probably the first week and a half, it was pretty tough. Yeah. It's kind of a mental battle, being like, kind of miss home, being gone from home, stuff like that. But then it's like, look where you are, kind of thing. And so you kind of wake up, have that feeling a bit, and then you get going throughout the day. You're like, okay, I'm getting more used to this, getting more used to it. Everyone there was really good too. Like, not that I ever ended up needing to, but always like, hey, how's it going today? Like, how you feeling? Stuff like that, right? Like, it's everyone's checking up on each other and whatnot, and everyone's got family back home or something like that, right, that they're away from as well, so they kind of understand it. But once that feeling left, it was like, okay, I've got like 20 days left, 18 days left. I feel like I'm running out of time. I got to soak this up, kind of thing. And that was still the majority of my time there, right? But yeah, I'd say for sure, yeah, the family up there for sure is the best part. Fishing was insane and whatnot, but yeah, definitely the people.
Very cool.
Yeah,
very cool for sure. All right, I don't know. Is there any other stories that
I do have a pretty funny story?
You could talk, I'm sure, about your experience for hours, but is there anything that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I don't know. There's obviously a bunch of funny stories and inside jokes and stuff like that, but
of course, yeah. And anybody that's listening, feel free to, you know, shoot us a message on Instagram or Facebook or an email.
Yeah.
All of that information is in the show notes below. And if you have any kind of questions for Logan, I mean, just shoot us a message, and I'm sure he'll find the time to get back to you.
No, for sure I will. Some of the cool things was like I couldn't have asked for a better set of first clients with Deb and Mike from Iowa. It was their first time up there, my very first time guiding. Okay. They were awesome about that.
A lot of firsts.
Yeah, a lot of firsts, and they were awesome about that. They didn't seem to care. It was a really good time. We caught lots of fish, lots of big fish kind of thing. Everyone at the lodge joked that they're my new mom and dad kind of thing. They're awesome to have in the boat. And then when we got some pictures before they left in front of the sign, in front of the plane, and whatnot, gave Deb a hug, and she started crying. I didn't realize that because I had gone back up the ramp to the top there, but the rest of the guys saying goodbye to them down the dock said she was crying. So I guess that means she had a good trip or whatever. But we were talking, right? You're in a boat all day. You get to talking about a lot of things, and we were talking about turkey hunting, and I was saying, oh yeah, I've never tried that before, but would like to. And so they invited me down to go turkey hunting there next year. And so Jesse, another one of the guides, he's probably going to come to try and plan a trip there. So that was pretty cool, but lots of
very cool.
Very cool. Yeah. So that should be a good time if we can make that work. The guests, lots of the guests are very interesting. Like I had three guys who fought in Vietnam, like the age group is like more in that, I would say, other than the one, I think everyone was over 70 that I had. So
really,
yeah, tons of experiences and stuff like that. Right. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's, I was going to say like over that 55, but
no,
over 70. That's
yeah.
Wow.
Like the last week me, Adam and Davis had a group of five guys. So we, would rotate, right. And some guy would take a solo every once in a while, and they would switch up who was fishing with who. And, two of the guys were, one was 81 and one was 82.
Okay.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And they're still getting around like crazy. They've been making, that was their fourth or fifth year up there.
Catching, you know, 40 inch plus fish. And, you know, it's not like it's super easy to bring in these big fish either. And, you know, to be in that good of shape and that kind of position to be 80 years old and fly to the Northwest Territories and in the middle of nowhere catching these big fish.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's truly incredible.
Like the first day they were there, Adam set the bar high with in his boat back to back, I think it was a 43 inch Laker and a 42 inch Laker. And these guys,
dad.
Yeah, dad.
What a dad thing to do.
So they reeled those in like, those are big fish, so it's pretty crazy. But yeah, lots of the stories they have, like the one guy, he does stuff with all these big candy companies and stuff. He's a candy consultant. It's like, I didn't even know that was a thing. But he's also, on top of doing this, being huge in that scene, he's also flown 15,000 hours in a plane. So he flies like the one you take from Calgary to Regina. He flies really? Those planes when they need someone on the weekends. I'm like, I don't even know how you have time for this. But like, he's been, he was telling me that he went like Reindeer Lake. I think that's Arctic Lodges there, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember lodge up there, but
whatever.
Yeah, it's way up there in Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Yeah. With that lake goes Sask and Manitoba. He said he was up there when he was 14 and there was no lodge there yet. They were prospecting for a lodge and like I could only imagine how good the fishing was. But yeah, all these stories that they had and stuff, all the places they'd been, it's that's another part that's pretty cool about the whole thing is those stories that people have, and especially with them being older, things are so much different now than they were then, right? So that's a pretty cool part, is getting to know the people throughout the week.
Yeah, so many experiences, and I mean, a bit the conversations you had, I'm sure that's an experience in its own, just, you know, hearing these stories from these people that have lived life and experienced all these different things, and now they're at a point in their life where, you know, flying to the Northwest Territories and fishing with a young rookie guide is like the highest of highs, right? So it's like, it's cool to really realize that's what the future might hold
for you. Exactly. And that's that, that's the thing that was cool. Like the one guy, he'd been married for 35 years and then his wife unfortunately passed away, but now he's been married for 15 more years. And I'm like, what's the secret? And his secret wasn't his PG, so I probably won't say it, but he basically said, like, you just gotta, they all had different things to say, right? Because the first group, Deb and Mike, like, they had lots to say about that stuff too, so you talk about that kind of stuff, right? So those things were pretty cool. But I guess it's a funny story. I guess I could probably talk about my first 2 days in being up there. As far as for anyone who's been up north or been to a lodge, my saying is, well, they actually had a big board that was kind of sitting off to the side in the kitchen that said, it is what it is. And
it is what it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. So
that sounds so wise when you say it.
Oh, well, because I am a wise person now after my month up there. No, it's, my version of that is, oh, it's the north. And that's all you can say, right? So, Davis hadn't been really up to any places like this. And so I just said, there's going to be lots of times when all you can really say is, that's the north. And that's, it is what it is. That's what it is. Lots of things work just well enough that they work, right? But it's the north. That's, they work, and that's all it needed at that time. It might not be the most ideal, but that's the way it is, right? So we, my first day one and day two in the Northwest Territories, I fly in, I'm waiting for my bags. I get a text from Zach and then a call from Zach. Hey, we need you to get some supplies for the lodge. I've got your rental car. Just go and tell him whatever. I'll pick that up. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get my bags and then I'll be good to go. So I'm sitting at the carousel thing. Bag one comes out, bag two comes out, and people start leaving. Less and less bags are coming out. And I'm like, where's my rods? kind of thing. And I'm like, oh man. And so eventually it's me and this other girl left standing at the carousel, and it stops. Everyone's gone. Security leaves. I'm like, well, that's not good. She's like, nope. And so I was like, oh shit, whatever. I don't got my rods. Let's go to the rental place. Luckily, Zach called ahead. He got the last vehicle, a nice Equinox, for me to rip around. Ooh-wee. Rip around Yellowknife in. So I go down to the WestJet lady. She was really good. She's like, I can see here that there just wasn't room on the plane, so they're flying them in tomorrow on the same flight, because there's only X amount of flights that come in, right? So I'm like, okay, that would have been sweet if they maybe let me know by email or something before, and I'd be like, okay.
No kidding.
Like, what if I had to fly out that afternoon, right? Or something like that that evening. So
yeah,
that was fine. But
just they made the decision not to throw your $100 worth of rods on the same plane as you and not tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So that was nice. So anyways, I go and get the car. Davis is flying in. I got in at like 2 something, and he got in around 4. I think it was 4:20. So I get the car, and I'm going to drive into the hotel that I booked for me and Davis, the Quality Inn and Suites. So someone will enjoy that if they've ever been to Yellowknife. You'll probably see where this is going. But I drive the car there, and I pull up. There's nowhere to park, and basically just booked the place. It was like $170 a night. Things aren't too cheap in Yellowknife. It was $170 a night for 2 beds. The reviews were terrible, but I was like, whatever, right? We're there for 2 days. It doesn't matter. I pull up to the front, and there's nowhere to park. There's a group of just messed up people on the right and a group of just messed up people on the left. And I'm like, I got 2 50-pound bags here, 2 carry-on. And I was like, I can't carry this all in at once and leave the car there, right? So I
Yeah.
And it's right in the middle of downtown. So I was like, oh, whatever. Because it's actually a pretty good sized city, Yellowknife is, like as far as northern community. But anyways, flying into there, you can kind of tell it's pretty good size. So I was like, yeah, whatever, we'll see. So I pull around the block, find an empty street to park on at some meters there. I was like, okay, I'll park here. I'll take in my two carry-ons. I'll go check in and I'll come back and grab one thing, like the next two pieces of luggage, just one at a time. And then I'm sitting there, two more people walk by. They're like yelling at me. I didn't know what was going on. I made the mistake of making eye contact and then they kept walking by. I looked down at my phone again, just checking maps or whatever. And then someone walks by and spits on the car. And I was just like, nope. Like, fight or flight kicked in. I was just like, just put it in the drive. And I left. And I called the Quality Inn and Suites. And I was like, yeah, my flight times change, unfortunately. So I'm going to have to cancel my reservation. And she's like, okay, well, we'll waive the cancellation fee because your flight's changed and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, thank you very much. Hang up, instantly go and call another hotel. I'm like, do you guys got any rooms? And much nicer hotel, only $10 more a night. The Chateau Nova, I believe, is what it was. So that's kind of more on a little bit of the outside of town.
And no spit and peeps outside that one?
No, it's not in downtown. It's the same downtown as any larger city downtown, right? You got the same things going on. So I was like, ah, whatever, get out of there. Thankfully, no cancellation fee. So I get there by the time I get checked into the other place. Oh, my, had that happened yet? Yeah. I get checked into the other place. My credit card's maxed out because I bought my truck plates before leaving and had bought some other things. So whatever, had to put that on my debit card. So that was another mess up. And this is where the theme of, oh, it's the North, right? Fits into this.
Yeah.
So we've now had two hiccups. I drop off my bags. And then Davis is going to be there. So I go back to the airport, go and get Davis. Everything works out well for him. He gets all his stuff. We head back to the hotel, drop all that stuff off. Now we can go do our supply run. So let's see if I can find the list here. Zach sent me a list of a couple things to buy. So the first one was a liquor store run. Well, the Edmonton Oilers are huge up there. I think it's because it's the closest team to them. And the Oilers were playing that night, and so everyone was going to get their booze, and so the liquor store was bumping. But we go in there, and so what the order was 10 24 packs of Molson, 6 24 packs of Kokanee, and 7 15 packs of Labatt Blue. So pretty good order, right? I think it came out to like $1,300 or something like that. And I'm like,
all right,
so we back to the loading docks. Fill up with that. I'm like we're the
you you had to put that on the debit card too?
No, I paid off my credit card and then did that. I think my limit's like 3K, so I don't know what else was on there, but yeah, I paid that off, then was able to pay for the booze there. And I'm like, we're like one of the hottest cars in Yellowknife right now. Like, we've got $1,200 in booze and we've got to go make some other runs. So we're like, okay, let's go to the Air Tindy float base. That's where the float planes fly out of, so we can drop this off and we don't have to worry about it, right? We get there, no one's there, so like, oh shit, okay, well we'll try again a bit later. But then it closed. There's, I guess, only people there if there's a flight that day, and there wasn't flights that day. So we're like, okay, we'll have to figure this out. So then he's got a list of all these things from Canadian Tire, like some oil, boat rope.
They have a Canadian Tire up there?
Oh yeah, they got everything. Yeah.
It's the North.
It's the North. Yeah. So we end up leaving the Canadian Tire list till the next day. Davis has to go get some blankets and stuff like that. So I'm like, well, I don't really want to leave this booze like exposed overnight, right, in the car. So he takes the pillow and the blanket that he bought and puts, like, because it's a nice flat, like, there's all these cases of beer, right? So it just looks like a bed back there. So we covered that up. It was fine, thankfully, because that would have sucked to call Zach and be like, yeah, all that booze we bought, it's gone. But
she got.
But anyways, got that figured out. So we wake up the next morning, go and do our Canadian Tire run. It's hard talking through text to understand sometimes what me and Zach are trying to figure out. So he says he has here, it's the North again, amongst other things, he has 3 5-gallon pails, period, 15 W-40 diesel oil, period. Okay, so in my mind, I'm going, he wants 3 5-gallon pails. I'm thinking just empty 5-gallon pails, because pails are very handy up there, right?
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm thinking 3 5-gallon pails. Next item, we want some 15W40 diesel oil. I'm like, okay, this makes sense. So I'm looking around for these empty pails, and then we get, and then Davis is like, I think he means 3 5-gallon pails of 15W40 diesel oil. And we're like, okay. Yeah. So whatever, we go and pick up some of the other stuff, and I'm messaging him. He's in and out of service. Like, when you leave the lodge, you lose the Wi-Fi there pretty well. So,
understandably.
Yeah. So I'm trying to, figure that out. And then I send him 3 5-gallon pails, or 3 5-gallon pails of 15W40 diesel oil. The period on the list is throwing me off. He sends back quantity 3 volume 5-gallon pails. And I'm like, I don't know what you want. So eventually he sent me a screenshot of it, and it was the oil. I could be totally stupid. Maybe no one saw it the same way I was, but, so that was fun. Another like $1,200 at, Canadian Tire. So now we've got whatever that is, $2,400, $2,500 in stuff in the Equinox, like midsize SUV. Like, we're starting to weigh this thing down. And then he,
in Yellowknife.
And then he messages me. Where is it? He says, got one more thing. 30 cases of Pepsi from Walmart.
Oh my God.
I don't buy pop. I don't drink pop. And I was like, oh God, like, this is going to pay off the credit card again. I don't know how much it's going to cost, right? Go in there and 30 cases of, I think it's 10 pack, maybe 15, was like $250, like less than $10 a piece. I was like, oh, that's surprising. But then we got to fit all 30 packs into the vehicle. And so now we're rolling around. We're almost like touching tire to rim, or tire to the wheel well there. Like, we're way down pretty good.
Yeah.
Again, it's the north, whatever. We're ripping around town trying to figure this stuff out. We're like, okay, we have to take the car back to the float bay, or we have to take the car back to the rental place for 2 o'clock that day. And we've still got all this stuff in the car with nowhere to put it. And we're not taking it all up to the hotel to then put in a taxi when we go to the airbase the day after that. So we're like, how are we going to figure this out? We go back there, no one's there. We're like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We got to return the car in 2 hours. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. And then, as luck would have it, one of the pilots from the wheelbase of Air Tindy was getting out of his canoe at the float base. And we're like, hey, do you work here? He's like, not here, but I'm a pilot at the other one. And I was like, could you get us inside so we could drop all this stuff off? He calls some people, unlocks the door, and we fill up a pallet. And I was like, I don't know how that worked, but it's the north. So that's how it got done. But that was my first day and a half, really, in Yellowknife. So I was like, this is going to be an interesting trip.
That's an experience and a half, like not getting your rods and then the whole hotel situation.
Yeah.
Like, you're by yourself, downtown Yellowknife, no idea where you are. Yeah.
I did get my rods, thankfully, in the end. When we took the car back, they were sitting there. The plane had just come in when we took the car back. And so we got lucky that they came in. But yeah, no, it was hectic, literally landed, and it was instantly like, hit the ground running, which was nice, right? We kind of thought we'd be able to see more Yellowknife. I wanted to kind of go to the museum and stuff like that, but that was no big deal. That was more fun anyways. So kind of same thing. It's the north. It's the way it goes. And same thing kind of happened with this one. Will be quicker, but when we went to do a fuel run to Wati, the community that's on the lake there, that's where they get their gas from. So they go about, I don't know what they are, if it's, would it be 45-gallon drums, whatever those big red drums are. I don't know what they are. But anyways, each boat takes 3 of those in their boat empty to go fill up at the reserve there at the gas station. Okay. And so we took 4 boats, so that's 12 barrels going. It's an hour each way. That's using quite a bit of time and fuel, right? Quite a bit of money.
Yep.
It's a Sunday. The gas station is supposed to be open from 10 to 2. But this year they just got a road built finally from Yellowknife to Wati. So the guy that was driving us around winter, he was letting us know that, like, yeah, lots of people use it. So we got to the gas station. Zach had just taken a picture. Someone had just taken a picture of the gas station hours like 2 days before that. And they had a new sign on the door, closed Sunday. We're like, what?
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so me and Adam were driving around with winter, and it's like, Zach's calling people too, trying to get things figured out. It's the north. We got to try and figure things out. And so Zach's like, oh, go check with so-and-so, get Winter to take you to George's house, we'll say, right? So we go to George's house. George used to work there, but he's off for a month and he's not going to come in and pump gas. So we're like, okay. He's like, but go talk to Karen. She's sisters with the girl that owns the gas station or something. So we go talk to her, and she doesn't know anyone. God. But you should go talk to Ed. He's on council kind of thing, and they control the gas stations. Well, actually, council doesn't control the gas stations anymore when we go talk to Ed. So Ed's like, well, go talk to so-and-so. So we did like six people like that. And it turns out both sets of keys went to Yellowknife with the people that left that day. So we never ended up getting any gas. God. Yeah. So that was unfortunate.
What a workaround. Like, everyone just kept passing you off.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of funny. Kind of shitty. Zach's, I'm sure, back at the lodge, like, we need the fuel, right? Like, guests are coming in.
No, of course.
We need to get this fuel because we burned through so much of it, because they also have a diesel generator that they need to get filled up as well. So it's kind of like, we need to make this work because we just spent all that time and money driving down there with four boats, and it's basically all for nothing for the most part. So it's the north.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Same thing when I walked into the grain bin. First impressions weren't great of the grain bin, but that's why I said to myself, it's the north, get comfy. And grain bin grew on me. The grain bin was basically studs and plywood, no insulation, nothing like that. Thankfully, Fish cleaned it up quite a bit before we were there. But Zach was saying, like, he's like, if Fish thought that was bad, he should have seen it before. Like, basically, it could be a lot worse. So, but it was all good. The boys really cleaned it up well. They're there for 3 months, right? So they want to have it looking good and whatnot. So, yeah, it's the north. If anything just starts to go sideways or is just a workaround, it's the north.
Yeah, don't get too revved up about it.
Yeah.
It's you got it pretty good up there for what you got.
So. Yeah, exactly. You work every day, but it doesn't feel like work. It's free room and board. You get paid a daily wage, and then you have your tips too. Like, you can't complain. You don't even think about really working every day. When it doesn't really feel like work. Everyone was so good about, like, you see how hard Zach works, and everyone talks about it, but Zach goes nonstop. He's just as much of an animal as he is online. He is no different.
He's a workhorse, man.
Yeah, he's Camp Daddy. Camp Daddy is who Zach is.
Camp Daddy, yeah. Hashtag Camp Daddy. Yeah,
but he goes so hard. He's up early. I think he's like works out like 5, and most people aren't up. Like, I wasn't getting up till 6:45 just to roll out of bed and go and have breakfast kind of thing, right? So he's always going hard, jack of all trades, and that brushes off on everyone else. You don't even think about, say, working. Maybe, well, you're on the island. What else are you going to do, right? Like, you may as well work. You may as well work hard because it gets things done quicker. And then when you have your list of things done for the day, you can go fishing for a couple hours. So that helps as well. But props to him for how hard he works and how much he gets done on the island.
Yeah, no, that sounds like an amazing, amazing experience, Logan. Yeah. That sounds like everything and more than what, when you first, got the opportunity and told me you were going, like, you have expectations and what it could be mm-hmm. like, what you think it'll be like. And it sounds like it was everything and more. So, that's kudos to you for doing that. I know a lot of people, opportunities get thrown at them all the time and they don't jump at them and then they regret it. So, yeah. I'm super, super stoked that you took the opportunity and did that.
Yeah, so. Not something I normally do, but I couldn't be happier that I did it. It was awesome and got so many more lifetime friends from it too. So I can't complain one bit, other than the fact that I'm home. I'll complain about that.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, like you said, I could talk about that for forever. I got lots of notes and stuff that I could talk about, but what about your trip? It looked like a blast.
Yeah, man. Where to start? Yeah, like it was a good trip. So I've never actually been up north. I've had trips planned up north before. I've had a lot of 2 or 3 lake trout trips planned that have been canceled, through COVID and yada yada yada. But finally,
wait.
I'm getting.
What was the trip for?
Yeah, so I was just going to say, so I'm getting married in September here. I've talked about it on previous episodes. It's creeping up pretty quick. I think we're just over 60 days away. And so it's becoming very real. And the boys decided to kind of treat me to a fishing trip up north for kind of my stag. So there were seven of us that headed up north. Seven guys, bunch of liquor, and a ton of fishing gear. So it was good. It was everything that I expected and more. I mean, we headed up to Slim's Cabins, which was on the Churchill River system. I've never been up there. Honestly, up until this year, I've never even heard of Slim's Cabins before. But it's apparently a very well-known place. They have three or four fly-in outposts, three boat-in outposts, I believe, and then they have a base camp as well that, you know, the main office is. And then they actually have a campsite, so you could, like, haul your trailer up there and, like, camp like a regular park, as well as they have four or five beautiful cabins that you can rent. So it's a really nice setup, and it's, you know, everything after Smeaton, you know, just north of Nipwin, you lose service. So it was a treat, honestly, to be up there and not have service or anything like that, and not have to worry about, you know, answering emails and calls and texts and social media and all that kind of stuff. It was awesome. And so there's new owners up there at Slim's Cabins, and they were nice enough to get us in. And everybody that went up on that trip with me had never been up north before.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Myself as everybody, you know, and the other six guys, it was an entire experience for everyone. My best man, he's never fished before in his life, believe it or not. You know, he's one of my best friends, and fishing is not something that we have a similar interest in. After this trip, though,
he's hooked.
He does. Yeah. No pun intended. He's
sorry.
Hooked. But, no, he mentioned, man, honestly, just being up there too, right? It's a hard thing to grasp that you're still in Saskatchewan, right? Because you get up north there and you hit the rock shield, then everything's just trees and rock and water.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all there is. And it's a different experience. It's a different vibe. I mean, obviously, you know all about it. And I'm sure there's tons of people that are listening right now that spend a lot of time up north. You know, I posted a few photos and stuff for my trip. And the amount of people that I had DM me saying, oh, like I've always wanted to go to Slim's Cabins. Or you drive past Jan Lake and you go to, there's a couple other lakes, I believe.
Oh, so you head up that way? Like you turn off before Flin Flon there and go Jan Lake and like Pelican Narrows area?
Yep, so you go right through Pelican Narrows.
Okay.
Which is interesting. There's a Tim Hortons there, which...
Yeah, it's new, though.
Threw me off, yeah. We were driving through, and I saw the Tim Hortons on my GPS. I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, well, I guess I...
Yeah. And we went, and yeah, it was brand spanking new. Yeah, there's a brand new school, brand new police station, brand new gas station, Tim Hortons. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but yeah, I've never been up that way, so it was... Everything about it was an experience, man. And I was kind of skeptical taking a bunch of people that have never done it before. But it turned out to be, honestly, one of the best experiences of my life. So yeah. It was cool. We drove up. It was about 9.5-hour drive. And then we stayed at, it was called Cameron's Point. So it was about just over an hour boat ride from base camp. So as you drive nine hours-ish in the vehicle, and then another hour-ish by boat.
Right.
We had 18-foot aluminum boats with 25 four-stroke Yamahas on them. So you're not clipping too fast, but you get there, yeah. Right? So it was great. We had three nights there, so two kind of full days of fishing, and nothing big. I mean, I've seen pictures of big pike come out of there. For the most part, we were targeting walleye. I tried targeting pike a little bit. The biggest pike we caught, I think, was about 36, 37, maybe. That's still not bad,
though, for up there.
Yeah, exactly. Like we talked about in previous episodes and earlier, you know, fish growth is definitely a lot different up there than it is in the south. But yeah, 36, 37 inches. That was caught on... Rapella Otis X-Wrap. So, okay. Yeah, that was kind of my go-to. And I was talking to another guy, actually. He's a buddy of mine. Grew up playing hockey with him. Him and his dad are big into fishing, and he reached out to me. He was up at Wilderness Outfitters. I can't remember the exact name. I'll have to look into that. But he was up north on a guided trip as well. And he messaged me. They were slamming pike. And he messaged me. He said, hey, we're absolutely crushing pike. I just caught like whatever it was, like a 40 some inch pike. And it's all thanks to you. I watched one of your YouTube videos of, you know, when you and I were out catching pike last year in the Kingfisher
catching.
From JP from JP Adventure Rentals. Yeah. And whatever, I put together a little video about that X-Rap Otis. Yeah. And he watched that video, so he bought a couple of X-Rap Otises, and those were the baits that made their trip. So that was pretty cool. I love getting those messages. And but yeah, anyway, so sorry, go
did
ahead.
Did he use code Weekend Warriors for 15% off?
He did. Oh. And he actually bought a Rapella rain suit too.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, Rapella's got some fantastic rain suits as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, catching a few pike, but honestly, the walleye bite was hot. And it's a massive body of water. The amount of water up there is ridiculous. And really, new owners at the cabin, so they didn't have a whole lot of like hot tips or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like sink or swim type thing. You just go out there and you have to try find fish. And I mean, these boats didn't have electronics. Myself and Big Brandon, we took our fish finders up there and just kind of hung them overboard.
Wise choice.
Yeah, used them to our, you know, the best of their abilities to put us on fish or find fish. And kind of the same thing like you mentioned, basically just trying to find depth and breaks. Yep. And all kinds of stuff. But yeah, like the amount of bays in there, like you could fish bay after bay, and they all look the same. Mm-hmm. But they all don't hold fish the same.
Yeah.
And so the first day, fortunately, my one buddy, he has a client that he mentioned, hey, I'm going up fishing. And he said, oh, yeah, I was just there, you know, a month ago. I've been going there for 15 years. He said, try this bay.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is my buddy that's never fished before. So he's like, he didn't really know, like, okay, like, you know, there's not fish everywhere type thing. So, but he mentioned this to me. I was like, okay, we're like, I'm going to remember this. Like, that's the first place we're going to go. And we're going to just kind of weigh it out. Went there, caught fish. We did catch fish. It was great. We probably had 100 fish we had three boats out there between the seven of us. Probably 100 fish the first day. Great. Awesome. Kept some fish. Had fresh fish over the fire.
Catch and cook.
Steak over the open fire. Like, unbelievable meals. But the next day, right, there's so much water you want to try. Other areas you want to find fish for yourself, right? You gotta. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of areas where there's rapids, and there's one area was called something Falls. So there was like a lot of movement in the water, and I said, let's go there. And sure enough, when we get there, there's like five other boats. So like there's a boat launch at base camp. Mm-hmm. Where you can launch your boat, and then you can just obviously drive around. Yeah. like it's normal lake. So there's a lot of guys that were just trailering up their own boats. Yeah. And so we get to the Falls, and there's about five or six other boats, and you know, bigger boats. Like there was a Kingfisher, there was an Alumicraft, there's a line. Yeah. Guys that, you know, have probably been here before, and I'm like, oh man, this is awesome. Like, this is a good sign. You know, these guys obviously came right here. Like, there's obviously fish here. We got there, like four fish. Like, it was slow, man. And it's like, okay, so then we hopped around bay to bay to bay to bay. And like throughout the day, like I think we had like 10 fish and nothing compared to the day before. So we're like, all right,
let's go back there.
what are the odds? Like, it's like 15, 20 miles back to this other bay. We're in these small boats with these small motors. Do we make the move, mm-hmm. or do we stay in this long bay and just, you know, grind it out trying to find fish? Well, let's go back. We know there was a bite there. Let's go back there. We ended up going back there, and we ended up catching another 100 fish afternoon. It was unreal. And like I said, nothing of size, but for guys that have never fished before, or, you know, people that have never been up north before, like 200 fish plus in a couple days, like you can't beat it. And it's not just like your normal, like around here, right? You can use, you know, you got your wrap bite, you got your live bait bite, you know, whatever. Over there, you could throw whatever you want, and you're going to catch fish. We were catching fish, you know, on jigs. We were catching fish on crankbaits. We were catching fish on live rigging, you know, everything. Plastics.
Yeah.
Buddy was throwing a plastic. We went through a 13 fishing churro. Like, this thing was just shredded. That's how many fish he was catching on this jig and a swim bait. It was unbelievable. So I guess moral of the story is it was fantastic. My first experience up north away from the south here, and I definitely want to make it an annual thing. Yeah, so
for sure. It's always tough leaving there, especially after your first time and you realize how special it is up there.
Man, we got on the water and we hadn't even wet a line yet. And my buddy that had never fished before looked at me and said, man, we should do this every year. Yeah. And it's like, we haven't even fished yet. And just like the experience of being on the water and the views, and you don't even realize you're in Saskatchewan and that this is up there. And, you know, it just makes you want to come back again and again and again. And the nice thing was too, right? It wasn't super unaffordable or anything because it's all drive-in. Yeah. You know, you don't have your airfare, which is, you know, majority of these large fishing lodges where these big pike and lake trout are, mm-hmm. right? It's fly-in only usually. And that's the large chunk of your cost, where this was, I think it was like $182 a night per person. Yeah. And that's boat, gas and accommodation.
Yeah,
so you really can't beat it. So, I would highly recommend anybody that hasn't been up there. You got to give it a shot, and you're going to want to go back every year, just like myself and everybody else that was on that trip with me.
And Brandon will tell you where that bay is.
Yeah, if you talk to me, you're really nice.
Yeah.
No, I mean, right? I mean, that's the nice thing about fishing. There's always people that are willing to help you out. And it's honestly, if my buddy didn't talk to that customer that has been going there for 15 years,
it would have been slow.
Would we have gone to that bay? I don't know. What, it wasn't far from our cabin, but
yeah,
would we have gone there? I don't know. And that could have completely changed the entire trip.
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole experience could have been different. And there is honestly the amount of like calmness, like you mentioned, even up where you were in the Northwest Territories, we were there for like 4 days, 3 nights. And the one morning it was really windy and it rained. But then cleared up, and like it was just the perfect weather, honestly, to fish. Like it was so calm after supper, like, and it doesn't get dark there. Like, I don't know, up in the Northwest Territories,
does
it get actually dark?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not even that far north. We're only, you know, 9 hours north of Regina, and you know, it's midnight, and it looks like it's 8 o'clock out.
Yeah.
And then we're sleeping in bunks, and they don't have curtains, and it's like,
yeah.
Oh man, I think the first night we were there, I was up at like 4:30 in the morning because mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep, and I was just so excited, obviously, to be there. I wanted to get fishing, but yeah, it was bright out. 4:30 in the morning, I was flying my drone around.
Yeah, exactly. And
all the guys were like, "Frick, does this guy need to be flying this drone right now?" Like,
yeah.
I think we went to bed at like 1 or 2 in the morning. It was like 4:30. I'm up flying a drone, but I mean, all in all, like. New owners up at Slim's Cabins, and they were great to us, and you know, they want us to come back, and we want to go back, and yeah, I'd highly recommend, whether it's Slim's Cabins or another place up north. I know you've been to, you know, a lot of places up there, like Otter Lake mm-hmm. and whatnot. I'd love to hop over to Lac La Ronge and do some lake trout and Hunter's Bay and that kind of stuff. But yeah, if you mm-hmm. haven't been, I can't recommend it enough. Yeah.
I guess one I'll shout out is my buddy's camp. It's a DIY camp, and that's why I knew about Palcaneros and the new Tim's, because we have gone up. They bought it two or three years ago. It's Northern Knights Outfitters.
Yeah.
Knights with an N, not an L. But it's a DIY thing. Nice little camp. Walleye, pike, stuff like that, right? And it's they're not too crazy far. It is a fly-in, but it's nothing... Nothing crazy for expenses when you look at some of the other places up north. So yeah, there's tons of those places, tons of lodges, ones where you do it yourself, ones where people do everything for you. You just got to go catch the fish. It's all what you want to make it, but definitely if you have the chance, make the trip up north. It's always going to be worth it.
Yep. And I guess if you haven't, go follow Fish Hunt Sask. Tourism Saskatchewan is branching out their hunting and fishing sector. Go follow them on Instagram. They're posting tons of great content about all of these lodges in our province up north and what this amazing province has to offer. They're not partners of us. We just really enjoy the content, and we really love our province and what it has to offer. So, go follow them. And I don't know, man. Like, is there?
I don't think so.
Anything else you want to touch on? We both had really good months.
Yep.
Busy months, experiences. And a lot more to come. So, I mean, we need to give a shout out to 13 Fishing again. They're part of Rappella Canada, and they've been fantastic to work with. So many great products, and yeah, you can use our code Weekend Warriors, save 15% off. Go grab yourself rods, reels, baits, yep. Rain gear, apparel. I mean, if you need an auger for ice fishing, yeah. Get one of those too. There's Strike Masters under the Rappella Canada umbrella too. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, thank you very much, you guys. We appreciate you guys tuning in. It's been a minute, yeah, since we sat down and just chatted about fishing. So we appreciate you guys tuning in, whether you're new here or you've been listening to every episode. Just know that it's much appreciated. And yeah, stay tuned for more great episodes from the Weekend Warriors.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.